Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today's Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Little Bits, the easy-to-use electronic building blocks. Talking Simpsons listeners can go to trylittlebits.com/lasertime and get $20 off your first order.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons. This is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. I am your host, Bob Mackey. Who else is here with me today?
Christopher Lazy Sperm Antista.
Ooh. Henry Tempura Hatchback Gilbert.
And today's episode is Brother, Can You Spare Two Dimes, which aired at the late date of August 27th, 1992, a weird summer episode.
Drinking the water!
Exactly. And we find about Homer's fascination with that drinking bird. Yeah. But what happened on August 27th, 1992 in history, Chris?
Holy shit!
Oh, my God!
You wouldn't believe it. Hurricane Andrew ravages through South Florida. President Bush dispatches 5,000 soldiers and $300 million in relief. Murphy Brown wins the Emmy for Best Comedy. And Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven is number one at the box office.
Wow. Did she win the Emmy for the episode where she had a child, I'm guessing, probably?
I would bet so.
It was the third season finale, Abortion, I thought. Oh.
I mean, Dan Quayle made fun of her in the run-up to that election, so...
And we'll see a parody of that episode soon, a very specific parody of Murphy Brown.
But Chris, didn't you survive Hurricane Andrew?
I did, but were you in Florida at that point?
No, I wouldn't be moving there until the episode Lisa Beauty Queen.
I'm happy I got to talk about it with our buddy Mike Drucker on the episode of Laser Time, because he was from that area and there was a water park every kid used to go to there that was just wiped away, among many other things in people's homes.
Do people remember the name, or is it lost to time?
The Hurricane Andrew?
Atlanta. I mean, it's the water path.
It's Atlantis,
water park.
Baby.
Oh,
there's a small website devoted to it, but it's like in an era before digital photography, and it's a real big bummer for me.
If you call your water park Atlantis, you're setting yourself up to be destroyed by water. I mean, it's pretty much faded, right?
And
exactly.
Pretty much anything you build in Florida falls into that logic.
Yeah.
The ocean's coming
might
in,
as well
baby.
Call it Vesuvius or something.
But what did happen is that it drove literal South Florida refugees into Northern Florida. So I had a couple brand new classmates after Hurricane Andrew. But what I did get out of it,
they were the wet ones.
I got my dog, Mac, a rescue from the rubble of Hurricane Andrew. We got a dog from it.
And he was around until very recently, wasn't he?
He liked to chase UPS trucks up to the tire, and that eventually bit him in.
That'll do you in.
I'm sure he's a great dog. But you know what you didn't mention in that history?
What was that?
Is that this week also had the premiere of Martin.
Did it really?
Which is why this episode aired on August 27th.
Was it before or after Martin?
This was the lead-in to the premiere of Martin. Oh. So the reason I didn't know
this premiered
until
way later.
The end of August.
They didn't mention it in the commentary even, but I noticed it in... I read about it online, was that they talk about in the commentary that this aired in August because Fox was just having weird things, like season two, the Olmec Head episode.
Yeah,
that did air during the summer too, and then it was just Fox being experimental. But in this case, they wanted to premiere Martin earlier, and then they had this episode, which was going to be a holdover for officially season four.
Yeah, season four is like 2 weeks away,
and be the season four premiere. But they decided, no, we need a new Simpsons to lead into our brand new show, Martin, which, hey, it worked.
Which
Martin
would last
for like 5 years.
Despite all the sexual harassment the star did to certain people.
Well, when you're that talented.
Yes, you can just get away with
and so,
we talked glowingly about Martin Lawrence recently in an episode of 302010, and I'm glad we did.
I have two announcements, though, before we start.
God, are you quitting?
From the very beginning, I've been keeping a running Google Doc for our podcast, all my notes. I'm retiring it as of this episode for a new one. There's 18,000 words, so that's how many notes I've taken.
Wow.
The second thing I want to say is I listened to the commentary for this episode, and the people who wrote this episode kind of hate it. And
they were very tired and don't like it.
And James L. Brooks is just trolling them nonstop on this commentary, just like them making excuses and him poking holes in their excuses. So I guess we're going to talk about where this episode falters and where it's good.
Well, and it's also funny because I also found a note from Azaria, or in a separate interview, Hank Azaria talked about how Danny DeVito was not happy to come. He said DeVito was not happy to come back and do it again because he apparently didn't like the experience the first time. But
a voiceover?
Apparently. And
he
so
had
he
done
said,
it before and in Space Jam.
So he said, so Azarius that he enjoyed, he did a good job, but he did not enjoy.
Because I have been curious about that. I think I mentioned that here before. I saw an awesome Q&A with James L. Brooks here, and it was hosted by Danny DeVito because they're buddies. He's in a bunch of his movies and Taxi. But one, I didn't remember this second appearance by Herb Powell being so close to the original one.
Yeah,
and
just
then
one
there's
year
a
later.
20-year distance.
That's right. He does come back, and I totally missed this
one.
On
the phone.
Oh.
He comes back on the phone.
It's a one-off joke about just like that, because Homer having a brother and family is so important in this episode, and then it is completely
you
forgotten.
Have to forget about it, otherwise the show doesn't work.
Yeah, having a potentially billionaire brother again is on good terms with Homer, finally.
Every problem they've had since this episode, you're like, well, why don't they just call Herb and get a borrow money or whatever.
But we need to... Okay, so this episode opens with Lenny's naked ass.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you see.
I forgot that opening.
Yeah. Daniel Flint.
Did we say modern FCC regulations dictate that the Simpsons bare asses can't be on screen?
Post Janet Jackson meltdown, 2004 Super Bowl, they really added restrictions. So all the bare asses we see up until maybe 2004, 2005, they are now contraband. We cannot have a drawing of an ass crack on the screen. It's actually happened on Fox cartoons. I remember watching American Dad after the Janet Jackson thing, and there was a bare ass, but they blurred the butt crack out. Added mosaic to a curvy line. It's so crazy.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It is very strange, but it's a funny little joke of, I like how Homer thinks about for a second if you'll lend him his underwear.
Yeah. And then, just briefly.
I never know which thing to get to lead into the episode because it's usually a red herring, but I love Burns yelling at his legal team again.
Barely sounding like Burns, but I love the energy.
This energy from Harry Shearer and Burns will never be seen again.
So we find out that Homer's sperm count is low because of the plant, and this is where it leads to. Yeah.
And the plant is responsible.
Isn't it weird that Smithers is looking at Homer's semen?
And has his own sperm sample.
And I actually think that made it better because he's like, well, now I'll just show Burns my sperm. And
so that's
not even
a gay confirmation. He's just a serial killer.
Smithers is just virile. Yeah. But he can never use that sperm.
But Burns yelling at his lawyers like he didn't Bart the Murderer.
Before you begin, let me make one thing clear to you. I want your legal advice. I even pay for it. But to me, you're all vipers. You live on personal injury. You live on divorces. You live on pain and misery. But I'm rambling. Anybody want any coffee?
I'll have some coffee.
Want it black, don't you? Black like your heart? It's so hard for me to listen to you. I hate you all so much. I'm sorry, it's my problem, I'll deal with it. Please continue.
If you offer Mr. Simpson a token sum, say a couple of thou, he'll be so dazzled, he'll sign anything you shove under his nose.
Oh, brilliant. A cash settlement. I could have figured that out, you button-down maggot!
You have any cream?
Oh, yes, of course. Where are my manners?
It's weird that Burns would be offended by the way lawyers act and perform their jobs.
It's not a part of his personality they ever explore, because you'd think they'd be natural allies.
Yeah.
But this is
someone
consistent. He hates lawyers.
Yeah.
It feels slightly out of character for him, but it's just such a great little...
They hate me!
It's a vaudeville up and down, like, I'm sorry.
I hate you so much! Yeah, I love when he just says it, like, blatantly like that.
We find out that Herb
is back, baby.
Well, I used to own a successful car company. My strategy was giving them Japanese names. You guys ever drive a tempura hatchback?
Never got that.
I got hit by one of those.
Yeah, life was sweet
Then I found out I had a long-lost half-brother.
And the show is more flashbacks than like an opening of Friday the 13th movie.
One of the rare in like them clipping to another thing in a non-clip show.
And just a year earlier, the animation looks so much worse, even though it was getting better at that point. But I feel like they burn a lot of time introducing Herb Powell again.
A little bit.
Going just through all the hobos. I mean, this is a John Swartzwelder hobo characters, script.
And it's very, very specific. Like,
yeah.
I of course I got Charlie Chaplin. I don't think I got Emmett Kelly.
Emmett Kelly, right? Yeah,
but well, that's who Herb is eating with.
Well, and that all the hobos are ex-CEOs. I know that they all used to be rich.
And one is actually James L. Brooks, the one with the big beard who talks about having the massage parlors where he guaranteed or he said sorry
the
he
Mickey
said,
Mouse massage. Yeah,
he wants Mickey's pants.
I'll
back
put
on.
The pants back on him. Some people just can't listen.
I did my nerdy research because within what happens, the couch breaks. And the Simpsons family needs to make a decision on to buy a new couch. How do we afford this? I'll get to that in a second.
Well, the couch breaking, one, that's a changed line they did because Bart, right before he jumps on the couch, he says, I do this for Stainmaster Carpets.
Right.
That line. That was originally a line about the collapsing USSR, but it had already completely disappeared by the time the episode aired, so they redid the dialogue.
Because, they mentioned that, I don't know if I should play the clip of like Homer thinking of his memories on the couch watching television, and thanks to the 302010, I was able to place time of every single one. I don't think I need to play it because they reference
the Hands Across America.
Yeah, JR in Dallas is 1980, Hands Across America is 1986, and the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989.
We see Homer with a weird kind of George Costanza like ring of hair around his head, which we never see again. I think they just subtracted hair from the top of his head rather than just made him bald and had hair around the side.
It's an out of character hair level for him because they've set up that like Homer has full head of hair in high school. By the time Bart is born, he's starting to bald. Mm. He's slightly more bald by the 1984 Olympics. And then by the time Maggie is born, he has four hairs.
Yeah, he has like an extra hair or two.
And I did love the line, the arms, the seats, the dream is over. and revealing he got the couch from
Ned Flanders.
It was Ned's old couch that they just took.
I have yet to buy a couch yet. And when Marge makes a comment on how much the spine melter is, I assure you, couches. One couch is way more than that, let alone
couches
a whole living
so
set. It's ridiculous.
I'm not buying an IKEA couch.
I've never bought a couch.
We got a hand-me-down. That's why that one in the other room is such crap.
So Herb Powell was chasing the American dream.
Yeah.
He gets inspiration from an unlikely source.
I love this.
Let's see. I need an idea. Idea. What's the matter with me? I used to have hundreds of ideas.
What do you want? I just changed your diaper. Are you hungry? Are you cold? Do you want to go home?
Lady, you just gave me the idea of a lifetime. How do I thank you?
Please don't hurt me.
Consider it done.
The fear in her face is great. Like, that scene, it's so real. She's like, you're going to hurt me. Please don't.
Yeah. That's an accurate reaction to a bum coming up to you and saying that, you know, like, how can I thank you? You give me the idea of a lifetime.
I've had to learn that the hard way now that I am both aging, work from home, haven't bought new clothes, and occasionally go outside a little disheveled. I'm not allowed to be as excited and forthcoming as I used to be.
People
I will
often give you their change.
I can scare women just by my appearance now. Yeah.
So can we talk about this baby translator?
Yeah.
Like, it's magic. Like,
it's
it
totally
can't
magic.
Work. Like, there's no way to actually
the only
translate
thing I stopped writing it down. The miracle is that all human beings are already kind of baby translators. And the babies aren't really saying specific words. Babies are more saying, like, holy shit, this hurts, or I need something in my mouth, I'm hungry.
Or I'm too tired to go to sleep.
Yeah, shit myself. Yeah, they're only saying a couple of things, and human beings naturally can read those.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some of our friends with babies or listeners with babies can prove me wrong, but I hung out with a friend with a baby recently, and I found that, like, really it's just about distracting the baby until it falls asleep again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's basically the key to good parenting. Just, like, jingle your keys. What's this toy? What's that toy? Oh, look at my fingers. Look at my hands.
And make sure it doesn't kill itself in between those times.
Can't wait to introduce to television.
So there was a very meta joke of Homer going like, life can't get any worse, just waiting for the thing to happen.
I feel like this was cut in syndication because I did not remember it.
It's scene.
It is
a time filler scene, but I like it.
I usually cut out all like the dead air here, but the dead air is part of the joke.
Yeah.
And it seems like almost too early for the Simpsons writers to be making this kind of joke.
Yeah, it's a season 6 thing.
Yeah, I would say
Hey, pal, I heard about the couch.
Yeah, you gonna be okay?
Yeah, you know, my life just can't get any worse. That's right. There's no way my life could possibly get any worse.
Simpson, report to Mr. Burns' office at once.
Don't!
There's a point where Homer actually looks at the camera. Yes. He's looking at the viewer like, okay, we're expecting this together
now. It's stuff like that, and there's a few other jokes in here that are just like, you're punchy writers.
Yeah.
I mean, especially like the Emmy stuff.
The next one, I can get to that because...
This is the year they lost to the East Claymation.
Oh, we'll
Easter
get to
special?
It in the wrap-up episode, which we'll plug at the end of this show.
Cool. I'm excited for that.
There's an Emmy slam here, but it's Burns offering Homer the settlement.
And so great.
Jesus Christ, Homer accidentally gets to set all the conditions.
Nah, Simpson, you big, virile son of a gun. How would you like a check for $2,000?
Would I?
All you have to do is sign this form.
Wait a minute. I'm not signing anything until I read it or somebody gives me the gist of it.
All right, well, it just explains that you've... One, yes, that's it. One, the first annual Montgomery Burns Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence.
Excellence.
Don't I get some kind of trophy at a big award ceremony?
Yes, I love that cut.
So,
this award is the biggest farce I ever saw.
What about the Emmys?
I stand corrected.
Bam! Bam and slam.
They're wearing the outfits they wore in their animated Emmys presentation, by the way,
that.
Which we discussed in the season two.
And Mr. Burns likely spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to set up this event and all the choreography and all the catering, most likely.
But
and
less than Homer would have been paid.
Yes.
And I'll only say that animation was used again for the actual Emmys this year, and because of the nature of how we're doing the show, I always say, the shows will never line up with dates again.
Mm-hmm.
About the day to this recording is the Emmys right now.
Wow.
So that's the only thing we've ever been able to line up with the Simpsons. As is almost this air date.
I also want to say this scene is amazing because clearly the Simpsons went forward in time 7 years to steal the opening to Family Guy to remake that. I can't believe the Simpsons ripped off Family Guy.
I did have
Guy,
that as,
right?
as a note. Like,
they totally stole it. Like, McFarlane totally stole
the animation. Yeah, but McFarlane's like a fan of that kind of music, which you just don't see on television, period.
Yes, but I mean that.
And it's just naturally funny.
But that specific animation setup of the turn to the camera, like... In this, they're the exact same costumes. Like, it's the.
I don't think the Simpsons writers would disagree with
no,
you.
No,
but I'm with Seth MacFarlane on that. That kind of music is fucking funny, and it's like not done anywhere. It like naturally makes me laugh and puts a smile on my face. So I do like it. That Family Guy, I don't know, revels in that kind of like old timey musical number.
That's Seth MacFarlane. He has several albums now, I'm guessing. Yes. But so we meet
that
our.
I'm not a fan of.
We meet our now deceased guest star, Chris. We need a death.
Oh no,
jingle
we
for
have
this.
To use a death jingle.
Yeah,
yes,
sorry.
Stalks you at every turn. There it is! Death!
So Joe Frazier, most famous for being wanted by Muhammad Ali in a non-sexual way.
Whoa,
I want Joe Frazier.
Frazier.
That's right. A Philadelphia legend?
Perhaps.
He is. I love...
I only know from our laser time about comedians shutting down hecklers because Bill Burr was pretty rough on Philadelphia.
Well, so yeah, Smokin' Joe... If he didn't exist in the year, in the era of Muhammad Ali, he would be thought of as the greatest boxer of his time.
Mm-hmm.
He's always, though, now seen as like just below Ali and also a little below Foreman in that era of the greatest of all time. And, like, and I love boxing documentaries, so I know all this stuff about him. And his biggest moment was that he won the title after it was stripped off Ali for refusing to go to Vietnam.
Yeah.
Then they had the return match for it, and Ali, to build it up, talked the meanest shit in the world about Frazier. Like, that people said if Ali was white, he would be called racist for the shit he said against Frazier. Like, he called him an Uncle Tom. But anyway, the point is that he shit all over Frazier. Frazier beat him in a decision, though both were, torn apart by it. And then they had two return matches that Ali won both of.
Mm.
And then later in life, when Ali couldn't speak anymore, then Frazier, in a kind of kicking him when he's down but getting revenge thing, like, he talked some shit himself and was just like, oh, he said, back then he said I couldn't talk. Well, now he can't talk at all. So if you,
wow.
But well,
maybe not
like,
the classiest.
But at least
thing
he
say
has an excuse. Like yeah. I almost, because I think one of the things we kind of hate about Simpsons guest stars nowadays are when celebrities play themselves. Yeah. This is actually pretty great, and part of the charm is how bad an actor Joe Frazier is.
It's very charming. Yeah. It's not grating. I like how bad he is.
Yeah, he's
because he's supposed to be awkwardly reading the announcement yeah. for Homer.
But I have him here at the bar with Homer.
Okay.
I missed my couch.
I know how you feel. You lost the couch. I lost the heavyweight championship.
Heavyweight championship. There's like three of those. The couch was one of a kind.
Homer, I know things are tough now. But one day you'll be walking along and you'll see a piece of furniture you can love just as much.
Hey, Frazier, shut up!
Bunny, you've been riding my back all night.
Oh, yeah? Get a step outside.
Let's do it.
So,
what is it about Barney in this season that is like emerging as my favorite character?
I'm sure as a fellow commentary
all
nerd.
Right, a peanut!
God, I love it.
As a fellow commentary nerd, Henry probably knows this, but yep, Barney was supposed to knock out Joe Frazier.
Oh,
like
really?
He knocked out Wade Boggs, but Joe Frazier's son was at the recording and he was like, Joe Frazier does not get knocked out by Barney. So they had to change the joke, which
really?
Probably is now a better joke. I love when the door swings out and swings back with blood on it, yes. Like blood just dripping down.
I would try to look as close as I could, like, were those teeth that just flew past the opening?
It's funnier that Joe Frazier, though, I mean, that's also crazy, though, that Joe Frazier, who should be above beating up a drunk in a bar, like, yes, beats the shit out of a drunk guy.
Nearly kills Barney.
Who's
indestructible, I think.
Yes. Joe Frazier is a you rewatch his matches, they're amazing. He is Rocky. Like, mm-hmm, he's from Philly. He was just like a smaller, like super tough bruiser. The hard-nosed dude to Ollie's, you know, dancing around.
He was a regular brick hit house.
Yeah.
And he passed away in 2011, I believe.
2011, that's right. 2011.
And yeah, he was but he was great. I always liked playing as him in the Knockout Kings video game.
Oh my god. Forgot all about that, but you know what I didn't forget about? Never can the spine melter.
I'll take it!
This chair is $2,000. We could buy a whole living room set for that.
No. Mark, there's an empty spot I've always had inside me. I tried to fill it with family, religion, community service, but those were dead ends. I think this chair is the answer.
This money was a blessing. We can't just spend it on some creature comfort.
All right, we won't get the chair. Now excuse me while I kiss the sky.
There's an awesome little animated
I love
bit
how
there
it's
where
animated.
Like, it's just like in 1 second his eyelids go down and drool pops out of his mouth.
That it basically gives him like orgasmic like high.
Yeah, we missed the 2001 reference, one of like four by this point in the show.
Which again, never would have got
same
that
here,
in
same
1992.
Confused the hell out of me as
and
a kid.
For some
really
reason, Akira from the Kung Fu
works
joint.
At the, works
I mean,
at the
it's a Sulu
store
joke.
Yes, exactly.
Like, oh my god, I never got
power
that.
No, full power. Like, cause, yeah,
because he was voiced by
originally
Walter,
George Takei voiced Akira.
Wow,
yes,
totally forgot about that. But I did have one time, I was really into a vibrating chair, and I bought one used. And then I learned if you get in one after you eat, you might shit yourself. And I had it in my car, and I kept constantly sharding afterwards. So I am no more vibrating chairs
you
for
know,
me.
Wow. It's really weird. Around this time, my family had a vibrating chair. Maybe this was like a common
early 90s thing. The early 90s was a vibrating chair era. It definitely was. My family didn't own a vibrating chair, but we did. My mom always had like foot pain because she, you know, as the patriarchy demands, she had to wear uncomfortable shoes as a woman in a workplace.
In front of a stove, of course.
Yeah. And so her feet were always in pain. And so she got these just like vibrating foot pads that she just always had her feet in and just, she loved them. Mm-hmm. I remember you'd a trip to the mall, you'd want to go to the Sharper Image
the
type
Brookstone
place that they go to in here to sit in those chairs.
Yeah. And just, I immediately got rid of it. Like, it's one of those novelties of like, you know, you get like your ear checked out and like, man, that felt really weird and good. You can't constantly stick your shit in your ear and expect it to feel good.
It's kind of like a waterbed.
Like, once a year. Yes.
A little
exactly
bit.
Exactly like a waterbed.
It's
also
fun the
same
first
area
time. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but I also love that when Herb shows up to the house.
Way too late, I think, in this episode.
Yes.
Like the middle or end of Act 2?
Yeah. Yeah, but like that it accurately depicts The Simpsons as white trash. the white trash that they are. Oh, yeah, and like yeah. they fluctuate back and forth from like absurdly middle class to like real white trash. I
when
love
he
them
sees
when
their
trash.
Front lawn, he first goes to the Flanders. Yeah. You get a funny bit with the Flanders like anointing the soles of his feet.
And yes. singing to him as he leaves.
And cleaning him up, giving him a free suit, like all that stuff.
This is a sweet scene.
What am I going to say? This is the guy who ruined me. But on the other hand, he's family. So many conflicting emotions. How to express them?
Herb?
Love that.
And I just steps over him. I like the way he
goes to the house.
I was a little drinky, and that joke, like, I didn't laugh that much, because just like, why is it I always punch stuff? the hard drive isn't working! I did everything right! Punch walls. Gotta stop that
the
shit.
The hard drive might have deserved it, but I don't think Homer did. No. I still feel like Herb undid himself.
This is repeating, I haven't punched anybody in like 2 decades.
This is repeating what we felt already in the previous episode of Herb's, but... Seriously, like, Herb was given constant warning signs of, like, Homer is doing a bad job. You really shouldn't do this.
You're absolutely... When I hear him talk about how Homer ruined him, like, dude, you deserve part of the blame.
Yeah.
You have to blame yourself.
There was no safety net. He did not provide a safety net for himself because he's immediately a hobo from like, a multimillionaire.
If that was one of your employees, everybody would have regarded this as your fault.
Yeah.
Like, nothing
you
set
never
aside.
Noticed.
Mm-hmm. No, like, you... It may have ruined his company, but he sold his company. Like, he got money.
So Komatsu Motors, whatever happened to that nest egg?
The Simpsons will be right back.
Hello, Talking Simpsons listeners. Unky Herb is really onto something, don't you think? That baby translator? Who knows how that's going to pan out? That could change the world. Do you have an inventor in your life? Good, because this episode of Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Little Bits. You know what Little Bits are? Little Bits are the easy-to-use, color-coded magnetic blocks that are basically like Legos that come to life in the form of inventions. Do you have a little inventor in your life? A DIYer, musician? Do you like Legos and wish they did more? Then maybe you could give Little Bits a try, and I'm only mentioning that because Little Bits has an offer just for Talking Simpsons listeners. You can go to trylittlebits.com/lasertime and get $20 off your first order. You can get started with a base kit and Legos, just continue adding components at your leisure. You can build robots, bubble blowers, pinball games, and it's kind of only limited to what you can think of. There's a kid on the website who made a keyboard out of a banana. Little Bits has received rewards from parent groups and tech places like Popular Mechanics, and guess what? They also have further discounts for educators who want to put them in their classroom. So if you have someone in your life who you think might like Little Bits, maybe you should give it a shot. Little Bits' mission is to empower the next generation to have creative confidence and curiosity to ask why and build their own stuff. The Unky Herbs in our life. And once again, Talking Simpsons listeners can go to trylittlebits.com/lasertime and get $20 off your first order. You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. I woke up with my girlfriend shaking me like, what happened? I'm like, what are you talking about? And like, I think you just vomited blood all over all of our pillows. So like, whatever that thing that happened, I'm not very healthy, as you guys can attest, but I spent Saturday and Sunday being like very nice to myself.
Mm. Ibuprofen with whiskey.
But it wasn't
you're also probably not hydrating.
The reason why you don't drink and take basic over-the-counter painkillers, that happened to me, and I will never do it again. Never.
Pictures of the... The bloody...
No, I don't think I threw up. I think it was just like something went bleh. Because I didn't wake up when it happened.
Like when a baby spits up.
I think something like that.
Like when a baby coughs up blood.
Because wouldn't you wake up if you threw up?
I mean, some people die by throwing up and just choking on
them. Oh, yeah, but it wasn't like... I know what my vomit looks like after a night of drinking. And this is not that. This looked like maybe a...
It was like a small cup of tomato soup as opposed to big bowl of minestrone.
Exactly. Not a big bowl of minestrone, but more like half a cup of tomato paste. Okay. Of diluted tomato paste. Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again.
Oh, also, I love the little joke about the happy 1985. Yeah. That's, I always wondered that when I moved into a new home as a kid, not too long after this episode, like turning on a light switch in the new place, I was like, ooh, is this like the secret Simpsons light switch? Because I now remember, it's coming back to me. Mm-hmm. This was one of the rare ones we taped, but on delay, or like we set up the VCR because we were away because my dad had gotten a new job in Florida, but we hadn't all, he was looking for
a house
at that point. So we had come down to visit and see what Florida was like before school started. And so, yeah, it was just, we were there on a trip. It was the day before my brother's seventh birthday. But anyway, yeah, that I always thought about that, the 1985 thing. Same with whenever I threw out boxes of pizza, I definitely remembered the cheese left in it. And I just imagine like the cheese for homeless people.
I think I, on like we, back when we were around the age watching this show, now I having worked as a delivery man, they have those cushiony boxes.
Yeah.
And I believe that keeps the pizza. You don't really get pizza with like half the
technology has improved quite a lot.
Has actually improved. We've done
this time. You have that little like dollhouse table that
progress,
sits in the middle of the pizza.
Bob,
yeah.
You're looking at progress. We lived through it and didn't even notice. I'd call this clip of beef and grief.
This is really good, Marge.
I got the recipe from the Utility Grade Beef Council.
They do good work.
Unky Herb, what advice would you give to a boy who will most likely become a bum like yourself?
Discarded pizza boxes are an inexpensive source of cheese.
Lisa, aren't you happy to see me?
Why didn't you write, Unky Herb?
Hey, if I wrote to you, what was I supposed to say? Dear Lisa, last night I used a rat for a pillow thanks to your pop.
I see your point.
Would it surprise you that I looked up utility grade beef?
Is that like what they feed the circus animals?
Absolutely. If you think, because I don't know beef that well. I just started eating meat. Not just started, but prime, that's a cut of beef. That's way up there. Utility grade is around straddling the line between hot dogs and dog food.
Okay. I figured it's what they sweep up at
mostly
the slaughterhouse.
Dog food.
Anyway,
yeah.
Like,
but
the,
that,
the
it's what it, I had it written down. Made from older cattle. Like cows on the verge of death.
Cows that died of natural causes are the utility grade beef.
That line feels like a very Oakley and Weinstein line. The kind of stuff they did in their episodes in season 7 and 8. But like utility grade beef, it has a very like boring humor type jokes that they got out of like Langdon Auger type names.
I like the National Punch Council. What was that? Something like that.
But the National Punch.
One of the questions
no
I wanted
sugar.
To ask you guys is why they made Herb talking to Maggie sound so menacing. Did
That's
the script
a
take
weird
a weird turn?
Moment. Well, no, it wasn't just the script. It was the music too. Like,
but I'm saying, like, did they make a bunch of other edits and change the story around?
My guess is that they wanted the audience to be invested in his idea for a little bit longer if they think that it's somehow sinister. That's my guess. But Bob, do you have a guess on that?
I mean, they communicated enough to let us know it wasn't that way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We know his Already. Idea by this point, so I felt that sting of music was not earned. Like,
whether you're
driving
near or far, Powell makes a powerful car. Maggie, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You're gonna make me rich again. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
It sounds like he's gonna sell her.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't buy this. I felt like that was just like what's this?
It's a weird moment. And then they go straight into Monopoly, which I like. It was very observational of a family playing Monopoly together.
It was.
Yeah.
And
on the floor, even not even on a table.
I was thinking about that Herb Powell line, and Nancy Cartwright's on the commentary for this, and she says the original script was maybe 50 plus pages. So I'm feeling there was a lot of stuff built in that was not paid off in this final version.
Yeah. And that's longer than usual. I believe it is like what for TV, it's a minute. Page
something like that, yeah. In most screenwriting,
yeah. And Herb wants the money that, getting back to the first act of the show,
yes.
Herb wants the money that he got from Burns. Jesus Christ, outstanding achievement in the field of excellence.
Annual Montgomery Burns Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence.
Excellent.
Why are we playing games when we got $2,000 in the bank? Remember when Dad won the first annual Montgomery Burns Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence?
But I think we should invest in a set of the great books of Western civilization. Look at this ad from New Republic for Kids. Each month, a new classic will be delivered to our door.
Paradise Regained, Martin Chuzzlewit, or Herman Melville's twin classics Omoo and Typee.
Wait, Marge, didn't you want to spend that money on a vibrating chair?
That was your idea.
I think we should get a machine gun. We could use it to hunt game, spell out things, or ring in the new year.
Well, I really think we need to replace the washer and dryer.
How would you like to spend $2,000 to give a broken man a second chance?
Nah.
So we have a very Harvard joke. I have a master's in literature, so I can say Lisa chose the most boring books that are available in English.
I never got the New Republic
Ethan
for
Frome.
Kids.
Well, no. So first off, New Republic for Kids. I get that now.
That's so fucking great.
I didn't know what New Republic was to kid. Like, also, the New Republic is kind of racist or has a racist past. Like, there's a story about how somebody realized, like, hey, you've never had a black person run for you. Like, what's the deal with that? And it came out that
they tend to not agree with us, Henry.
Well, it turned out, like, one of their their owner was, like, just a monstrous racist, even on the other people.
Yeah, not a conservative from the 60s.
Bob, I never read any of those books.
I haven't, but I know their reputation.
Were they real? Because you said Paradise Regained.
That's real. That is, like, the lackluster sequel to Paradise Lost that nobody cares about. It exists, it's a John Milton epic poem.
Omoo and Typee, not such good books.
Herman Melville kind of sucked outside of Moby Dick.
Omoo and
that's why he died penniless.
Omoo and Typee sound like a fucking Saturday morning puppet show, like in the local in
Eastern
the 50s.
Europe?
Yeah,
I also did love when Homer, when he's about to give the presentation, just the way Homer goes, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I have.
Meanwhile, we've talked for 30 minutes about a show that's 20 minutes.
Sometimes an hour.
But guess what?
The Drinking Bird.
We're around to my, it's my line of the show, baby.
That's the joke.
It's drinking the water.
Take it. Change the world.
20 minutes? Oh.
Okay. Now, before I tell you about my idea, I'd like to show you this.
It's drinking the water!
Take it easy, Homer. Now, this is an example of how one little idea, carefully marketed...
This is the greatest invention in the world. You'll make $1 million.
No, Homer. That invention is out already. I'm just using it as an example.
Going back for more.
I love that. That might be my favorite line in Simpsons history.
I like how quietly amused Homer is.
Yes.
But I also love Danny DeVito's, like, when he takes it away.
But it's just that, like, for me, it's drinking the water. We talked about this before, I imagine, where, like, Simpsons lines with your friends become shorthand for other things.
Oh, of course.
And, like, things that are built to be impressive but aren't, I respond, it's drinking the water. Or if I want to make myself look stupid in the face of learning something, I yell, it's drinking the water. It's very specific to me, but I love this line. It is my favorite line, I think, of the entire season.
It's drinking the water!
I love
it. It does sum up Homer's personality, and it's funny.
It's a great shot. Like, everything about it is amazing.
Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein love Season 3. It's their favorite season of The Simpsons, and they wanted to make Season 7 a lot like Season 3. We see a lot of similar ideas. When the drinking bird comes back in King Size Homer.
Ah, the drinking bird!
Right. Yes.
Dates back to 1910.
Oh,
Some say Albert Einstein discovered them in China. I wish I could explain more about how they work, but it involves air pressure systems in the water in the butt. And like
in a tiny top hat. It's very important.
It's a felt tip on the nose, so when it evaporates, it creates a pressure system that then falls back into the water.
Man.
It's also known, I love this, as the insatiable bird. Believe me, I looked for a commercial, but this thing has like been around so long.
It
I think it was like
the need of commercials.
Well, it's like public domain. It's like the same reason no one does fucking commercials for fake dog shit.
I feel like those balls that you clack back and forth.
Yes,
you pull one back and it just like, those have a name like Newton balls or something. I don't know.
I definitely bought one of those drinking birds as a kid.
Never had one.
I never had one.
Because of this. It was beautiful. But, okay, so...
Not a perpetual motion machine, though.
Very different. We will not have those in our house.
So when they're going around the table to convince Homer to give him the money, it felt like every line was redone there. Like, all the mouth movements were off. And I think that's another thing that makes you show... It makes you see how the show came in hot and heavy, that they just, like, re-recorded all this stuff that they weren't happy with in the first pass.
There was one line, I think, that was overdubbed that I didn't get until now because I turned the captions on, where Herb goes, he unveils the machine and Marge goes, ooh, and Herb goes, you don't
this.
Have to...
I love this.
Yeah. Oh, you have it?
Yeah,
oh, cool.
Now, I bet you're all wondering what lies under this sheet.
Not really. We peeked inside while you were in the John.
Oh. Well, here it is again. My baby translator.
Ooh.
Marge, you don't have to humor me.
Well, it's pretty ingrained.
What do you think, Homer?
Herb, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I can't believe we blew $2,000 on it when right now rollers could be kneading my buttocks.
Homer, could you stop thinking about your ass?
I try, but I can't.
Yeah, Marge saying it's pretty ingrained. I don't think I ever heard that before.
It would have been line of the show had I not loved it shrinking.
I mean,
water
it's inferring
so much.
She just is used to humoring Homer, right?
It's
and all of his ideas.
Yeah, it's such a great little line that says
I think
so
you interpret
much
it with
that...
I thought it was a joke about the way she reacts in every episode.
Yeah, I think it works as a meta joke about how that's all Marge ever does.
Oh, okay.
Or is asked to do.
Like,
but I took it more as a behavioral thing of just like, all she does is act impressed with Homer's ideas when they're not good.
Oh, Homer!
And so she's doing it for him now. But the baby translator, like we said, is magic.
Yeah,
but it's totally magic.
Are your Maggie translated?
Yes.
Lavish attention on me and entertain me.
Maggie, you talked!
You see? It tells you exactly what's on the baby's mind.
Maggie! Maggie! Whatever!
Where did you go?
Peekaboo!
Oh, there you are. Very amusing. Well, Homer, now what do you think?
I don't know, Herb. People are afraid of new things. You should have taken an existing product and put a clock in it or something.
Homer, every mother in the country is going to want one of these.
I have soiled myself. How embarrassing.
Nancy Cartwright doing double duty as
Dabble.
Maggie.
Maggie never does. She never makes noise any other time.
Other than
The one thing that salvages this idea is Danny DeVito's deadpan voice speaking for the babies, like,
I have soiled myself. How embarrassing.
If this thing exists, I would pay $60 extra for Danny DeVito's voice come out of it.
I want Siri to talk like Danny
DeVito.
Exactly.
I forgot how quick the
Peach
baby...
Peach Dragon is playing near you right now. 8 o'clock. 10 o'clock.
When they go to the baby expo... I forgot it goes by so fast. And there's only like a couple little jokes in there, but Frank is pretty great.
It's great. Right? I didn't get Frank, but I
Frank murdered his... Like, killed his son, apparently.
Yes.
My wife has got to kill me.
They spend more time on Frank than they do on Herb Powell's invention. It's
the woman who's gonna get a candy for I love that line.
I only want to eat candy.
Then that's all you'll get.
This leash demeans us both.
I love that.
Two. I'll take a dozen. I represent the precious baby discount stores. I'll take 50,000.
I'm rich again. USA! USA! USA!
The small joke of a store with the name Precious and Discount in it, I really did like that.
That is great, yeah. Mm-hmm. Though I love this least to me.
Just,
well.
It's so
everything, my line of the show.
We'll have people chanting USA in the next episode, I just realized.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
But so then when he gives everybody their presents, it's a very intentional Wizard of Oz thing. Of
oh, yeah, that's right.
I do love, I have the clip. I do love the sequence.
I love the NRA joke, yeah.
Yes.
Homer, here's a check for $2,000. But I also wanted to give you each a little something for believing in me. Lisa, this is the first volume of the Great Books of Western Civilization. You'll receive a new one every month, from Beowulf to Less Than Zero.
Finally, a copy of Ethan Frome to call my own.
Now, Bart, I know you're too young for that machine gun you wanted, but I'm going to give you something that'll make sure when you're old enough, you can still buy one. A membership in the National Rifle Association.
Wow, the NRA! Can I get armor-piercing cyanide-tipped bullets, too?
It's in the Constitution, son. Maggie, who brought me my fortune. I'll give you anything you want in this world. I want what the dog's eating. I'll get you something nice. Now, Marge...
Herb, I appreciate your generosity, but I don't need any gift from you.
You're too late, Marge. I got you a new washer and dryer. And I sold the old ones for $50.
I should say I love the washer dryer show because they're just very visual.
Ah, you stupid dryer.
They're so great.
Yes,
because most bar has washer and dryer races.
We had those dryers that they're being used for gambling in most shitty bar.
We don't need a scene like this, but I feel like there was a lost scene in which Marge was struggling with a washer and dryer that didn't work. I feel like this was not established. And
earlier, you got to see them vibrating in the basement.
They have like a mini-second cutaway of washer and dryer almost
I cut it out of our clip,
Snowball, but that was it.
Oh, like, yeah, I totally forgot about that, actually.
But it goes so fast, like, it really doesn't set it up.
And that's why I love the fast cutaways that occur in these episodes all around this time. I remember getting mad at shows like Malcolm in the Middle and 30 Rock mm-hmm. for what I call whoosh cam that need to like have a sound effect to let us know they're doing a cutaway, and like The Simpsons established this in the early 90s.
Yeah.
You do not have to do
The NRA bit was great, yes. especially, you know, DeVito is a big-time lefty, so he's mocking it. It's in the Constitution, son. So cyanide-tipped bullets was originally cop-killer bullets, and the censors did not like that.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And it's funny that John Swartzwelder wrote this, because he's a big, like, libertarian. I'm sure he loves guns. And he also wrote The Cartridge Family, which is sort of an anti-gun episode,
I should mention, in going through the news for Talking Simpsons, for the whole show, when I do the news portion, this is the era where Ice-T had the Cop Killer song and is legally forbade from performing it in public. So
before he was on TV's most beloved show.
Yes.
About cops.
Yes. What do you mean he's the pedophile?
Did you know that on the Gamergate episode they did, he was there? He was there, like, consultant as well.
Would it surprise you to know that's the only episode I've seen in, like, 20 years?
and then the episode goes out on Homer's sperm. It's like, so, his vibrating
sperm. This moment with him and her, by like...
Oh, it is beautiful.
It is sweet.
Man-on-man action.
I don't think there's a vibrating chair in that bag for me.
Homer, walk me to my car.
What do I get? It's not another punch in the face, is it? Because if it is, I don't want it.
This is what you get, Homer. I forgive you. You can call me brother, and I can do the same.
That's it?
That's it.
I see your point, brother.
Give me a hug, brother.
All right, but I never really hugged a man before.
Homer, I bought you the damn chair. That's enough, Eric. Get out of here.
Why does Danny DeVito hate doing a voice? Is it because he has to stand on like 16 apple boxes to reach the microphone?
So. He's got to like climb them.
He's so good at it.
He's such a great part of really the Simpsons. He's so great. Mm-hmm. I miss it.
He's got a real Dustin Hoffman, you know, kind of nuance to this character.
No, just his voice too. It's just such a beautiful voice. That's why he was cast in like every cartoon after.
And
this.
Danny DeVito is an underrated gem. He will die suddenly, and we'll all be really depressed.
Hopefully not before this episode goes live.
I'm putting this out now as Danny DeVito
Appreciation.
We're going
to have another Gordie Howe moment, Chris. I don't want that.
No!
So, big mystery in this episode. They buy the chair, but there's a new couch at the end of the show. Where did that couch come from?
I'm guessing that...
I hired someone to fix it for you.
There should have been one line like that, like, you got a new couch too, Homer.
I guessed the $2,000 he gave back to them bought a new couch.
Oh, that's right. He returned the money.
That's what I assumed, but they also just didn't say it.
Exactly.
If anybody has a line in a $2,000 couch, it may save us some money. Thank you.
It's a sloppy, messy episode that they, like... did when they were very tired.
They
but,
were killing themselves to make these amazing jokes we still talk about today. So.
But it's still very funny.
Yes. And the vibrating sperm is a great way to go out.
And also just like the Burns stuff in the beginning.
So
good.
And
I felt like Burns making up a funny thing on the fly is a real feel of how they did this episode too. Like, and then...
Excellent!
Oh, we didn't mention they did do it too because they felt bad that Herb... was left broke at the end of the last episode, so they wanted to bring him back just to give him a happier
ending. To
reset
the status quo, only now Homer knows he has a brother. Again, I see how this is problematic if you want to have any dire situation with
the Simpsons. He now has a rich brother whenever he needs to talk to him.
Never did.
Nope.
So, yes, a sloppy...
If you want more... I meant to get that sound clip, but what it was, it's literally like 20 years later, Herb Powell comes back, and it's about custody or guardianship of the kids.
Yeah.
And they call Herb, and he explains why he can't do it.
And do we see him or just hear his voice?
That's all over the phone for one, like 30 seconds or something. And, you know, this reminds me, too, of a plot hole in Simpsons continuity in the good seasons. So it was
someone got admired over that one.
So it's established that the Simpson gene makes all male Simpsons failures.
Oh, you're right.
Not Herb Powell, though.
Well, eventually. Yeah, I think he suggested he lost his money again.
He does in that one scene, fine. But
he failed horribly once. Maybe that was just the one time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you that could counts. Say the Simpsons curse came in once he found out he was a Simpson, that then failure came and got him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could say that, but... his level of success and second success is a lot better than shooting birds at the airport.
That's true. Everybody hates birds.
I love that. I shoot birds at the airport. One of my favorite lines ever.
I play millionaire parties.
If I may jump in with a plug here. People, thank you so much for helping us do this show.
Yeah, we've done three whole seasons of The Simpsons.
This is the end of the third season. Third season finale of Talking Simpsons, which will take a nice 6-day summer and be back again. But because the Laser Time patrons did that at patreon.com/lasertime, where the first season lives, we are doing a season 3 wrap-up episode. I believe I found something that will blow minds.
I can't wait.
But
I found a couple things, too. And I'm going to read some of my favorite comments from across the season.
I want to hear those.
I'm going to tell you. We're going to tell you some of our favorite moments, some milestones for the show. The last one we did was really fun, and I set kind of a high bar. But yeah. I don't know if we'll be able to do that again.
And this episode, yeah, and that episode will only be on Patreon, patreon.com/LaserTime
for $5. And you'll have access to 50 commentaries featuring us, cartoon video commentaries, wrestling match commentaries, if you want them.
But we ended up
in the first season of Talking Simpsons, 13 episodes you've never heard before.
Though we ended up jumping ahead of Bob's usual outro.
Oh, no.
I'm too excited.
So I'm going last this time?
Sorry.
How is this happening? Well, yes, I've been Bob Mackey, your host. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also write for usgamer.net, somethingawful.com, and I do the classic gaming podcast Retronauts. You can find that every Monday at usgamer.net or retronauts.com, or look for Retronauts in your iPod or podcast device. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with the start of season 4.
Infotainment.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.